I just want to pray just before we start. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come this morning. Holy Spirit, come and bring comfort to those who need comforting. Bring help to those who need help. And bring power to those that need to do something great for you today. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. Touch each life this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There'll be an opportunity. I'm not going to preach for too long this morning, but I want to allow an opportunity for those that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive him this morning. Maybe even just a fresh touch from the Spirit of God this morning, because God wants to touch us. He wants to empower us. He wants to make us strong. He wants his church to carry some life and some power. In the days we're living in, especially out into the marketplace, into the byways and the highways, and draw people to him. And when they come to church, they experience God's power and presence in their lives. So the title of my message this morning is Empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's over 30 years ago, so it's making me sound old, but when Angela and I received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that was down in Wellington in New Zealand. We lived in Inglewood or in Taranaki, which was about a four-hour drive away. And we were down in Wellington. For some unknown reason, we decided to go down and visit Angela's brother. We were going to go somewhere else. But anyway, we ended up down in Wellington. And the long story short is that Angela's brother led us to the Lord. And after that, he gave us a Bible and said, read the Bible and get into a church. We consequently went back and back to Inglewood, back to Taranaki. But we didn't go to church. We were trying to read the Bible, and we had a couple of tapes that we were listening to. But we hadn't gone to church, and probably after a couple of months, he came up with his fiance and said, look, we're taking you to church and getting you into a church this week. So the first church they took us to was relatively small, probably a little less than the number we have here this morning. And so we went in, and because both Angela and I came from a religious type background, I was an Anglican, Angela was a Catholic, so that's our experience of church. Anyway, we went to this little church, and the pastor got up and said, and we all stood, and he said, look, I want everyone to pray in tongues for 5 minutes. And I remember sitting there, and I sort of looked at Angela, and what's this tongues thing that he's talking about? And so anyway, we just bowed our heads, and I thought, man, if Angela's brother and fiance weren't with us, I'd probably want to walk out the door, because I've never heard of this sort of thing before. It's not in any of the churches that I've been in. What is this? But anyway, but as people were praying, I sort of in my heart, I was thinking, God, because we were obviously at that stage, we'd accepted Christ, but I was in my heart, I was thinking, God, I'd like to be able to do this. And so we went through the meeting, and then on the way home, I said to Angela's brother, I said, what's this Holy Spirit stuff and speaking in tongues? And he said, well, do you want to? I said, yeah, I'd like to. Yeah. And Angela, I think, just agreed, come along with it as well. But anyway, we got home for lunch, and he said, so we'd had some lunch, and he said, well, let's just sit around the table. We grabbed hands. And he said, I'm going to ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and you're going to speak in tongues. Oh, are we? Okay. So we sat around the table, we grabbed hands, and he prayed, and he said, well, then they started praying in tongues. And so I started praying in tongues, Angela started praying in tongues. Now, I must admit, in my head, my head was screaming at me. It was saying, you're just making this up, it's all gobbledygook. You're just making this up, you're making it up. But anyway, we persevered there for a few minutes. And we stopped, and they said, well, you've received the Spirit. the Holy Spirit. Oh, choice. We've received the gift of the here it is, isn't it? Yeah. We've received the gift of the Spirit. We've spoken in tongues. Anyway, they had to go on and head back down to Wellington. So I said to Andrew after they're gone, I'm going to go and see if it's still, I've still got it. So I went into the back room and I had another go. And again, my head was screaming at me, you're making this up. And over the time that I've been around as a Christian, but what I found was the more that I did it, the more that I persevered in speaking in tongues, the quieter those voices started to come, started to diminish within my head. So no longer was I getting, after probably a week, no longer was I getting those thoughts coming, oh, you're just making this up. And it went from you know, a struggle to do 5 minutes to be able to go on to 10 minutes to go to be able to pray for 15 minutes. And the longer that I went, the easier it became. So I was starting to utilize the gift that God had given me. And so often I see in Christian life is people come forward and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues, but they never ever persevere. They never ever carry on with it. They've received the Spirit. They've received that gift that God has given them. Now the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, he's our helper. He's called alongside us. He loves us. He wants to. He guides us. He'll convict us. But he's with us. And I was thinking about this. Well, this illustration came to me the other day. It was like if Pastor Nigel, I gave you the gift of a Mercedes E-Class, a 320, or, and you took that gift and you said, "I've received it," and then you put it in your garage, and you locked the door, and you never utilized that gift. You never experienced the comfort of those leather seats. You never experienced taking it out on the road and putting your foot down and seeing the power that it had, and that you could, how quick it could go, and the power that you had to be able to pass other things. Sure, you've got the gift, but you haven't utilized it. And I think as Christians, if we receive the Holy Spirit, we need to grow in the Holy Spirit. We need to have those gifts flowing in our lives. It's not enough just to receive it, because the Holy Spirit not only gives us gifts, but also produces fruit in our lives as well. So there's the fruit of the Spirit and there's gifts of the Spirit. And what I've found about the spiritual life is that it's not something that you can just turn on and turn off. No matter what we do with the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's prophecy, whether it's whether you've got a gift of healing, if you don't utilize those gifts when you want to come to use them, it's very difficult to stir them up, you know, to actually get that thing working again. It's like a well. You've got to keep it primed. You've got to keep it stirred within you. And so when you're filled with the Spirit, I pray in tongues quite a lot. I pray in tongues predominantly. That would be my prayer language, praying in the Spirit. I do pray in the understanding as well, but I pray in the Spirit, because it stirs my spirit man up. Paul said that, above all things, I pray in tongues more than you all. They keep stirring the spirit up within you, so that when you're in that situation, when you need something, it's not like, oh, how do I prophesy, or how's this going to work, or it'll flow naturally out of you. So that was my experience when I first received the Holy Spirit. And I suppose it sort of developed the hunger, and along with an encounter with God, developed that spiritual hunger within me to want more and to press in for more. Unfortunately, you have to be a little disciplined to be able to discipline. You need to be disciplined in the things of the Spirit. It's not like you can just rock up, or you can do what you like and expect the Holy Spirit to move through your life. You know, you have to deal with things in your life. You have to deal with sin. You have to deal with areas that you know are holding you back. So you have to do with those things. And here's the reign of the Spirit now, reigning. So my first point this morning, I'll just read, in Acts 1, 4-5. And Jesus was with his disciples, and he said, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Spirit.'" So here's Jesus telling his disciples not to go anywhere, because he was going to baptize them with his Spirit. So you shall receive power. This is my first point in Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the Holy Spirit gives us power to witness. You know, a lot of us, and myself included, found it difficult at times to witness because I was insecure, or I felt, well, what would they think of me if I shared Jesus with someone? But our witness is really our life. It's how we handle ourselves, how we talk. We're not called to necessarily be an evangelist. We're not called to be a preacher. We're just called to be a witness. Someone pointing to Christ. We are like a signpost pointing to Jesus. Just tell them what you know, tell them what you've seen, and tell them what it means to you. But we're not on our own, because God will empower you with his Holy Spirit. So what we need to do is lean on his power, depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us, strengthen us, and empower us. It's not that we have to try and do it on our own. It's not something that we have to try and work up. The Holy Spirit is with us, and he'll work through us if we avail ourselves to him. Not only will we have the power to witness, but we'll also have the power to heal the sick and cast out demons, and that's found in Mark 16. Second point, power to be transformed. Acts 2, 1-4. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting in together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a roaring and mighty windstorm." I was praying this morning, there was a really great big burst of wind, and then there was a really large smashing sound. I thought, what's happened? More of my fence is gone. And when I looked out, when it was light, there was another fence on my another boundary fence now is gone. So I've got one that's already gone on one side that's going to be fixed on tomorrow, but now another one's gone. So there was a loud wind, and then there was a big band. But anyway, there was a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then they looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. The fire, you know, the Holy Spirit's represented as a fire. You know, people say, I think Rodney Howard Brown's having a conference at the moment. He's calling it the fire conference. Holy Spirit can be a fire, a wind. a river. John 7:31. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. And I was thinking about this with the disciples. You know, Jesus told them to wait. And, you know, those disciples had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd heard his teaching. They'd heard the word. They'd know the word better than probably any of us. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd been with him. They'd been around him. They'd heard the word. They'd been out on missionary journeys. They'd seen miracles. Yet Jesus said, you need to wait. You need to wait for that baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was endured from power from on high when the Holy Spirit came on him when John baptized him. And as he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and then he went out into his ministry. So here's these disciples. I'm thinking to myself, they're thinking, oh my gosh, what else do we need? You know, we've been with you 3.5 years. Surely we've got all the training we're going to need. But Jesus said to wait. And if we look back into the Gospels, a few weeks earlier, we look at Peter. Peter walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. Yet when Jesus needed him the most, Peter denied him 3 times. And he even went as far as calling curses down on himself. You see, the other disciples all dispersed themselves, they all ran off. And in Acts 2:14-15, we see the transformational power of the Holy Spirit that operated in Peter's life. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, because the crowd, you know, there was people were looking at them and they're thinking, these guys are drunk, they're babbling away, it's crazy stuff. And Peter stood up and preached to the crowd that gathered. I can imagine numbers in that crowd would have been there when Jesus was before Pilate, shouting out, crucify him, crucify him. And Peter had dispersed and gone. But now Peter stood up in front of that crowd. And the Holy Spirit transformed Peter from one who denied Jesus to one who proclaimed him boldly with power. So there was a transformation that took place in his life. And if I reflect over my life, there's been transformations take place. From before I was a Christian to accepting Christ, but then to receiving the Holy Spirit. And I've grown to someone perhaps who was fearful at times. I mean, at school, do you think I could ever get up and stand behind a pulpit or even just stand in an assembly and just say something? My mother wasn't particularly very encouraging, so it was like, you know, you'd never amount to anything, but just you have to get a trade or something like this. That's all you're going to be doing. And those words rung in my ears for a number of years. And the only reason I could even get up now is because I know and feel the anointing of God and the Holy Spirit's power And it's not that I can do it in my own ability. I can't. I'd be a blubbering mess, really. I just couldn't do it. So God will empower you to do the things that He's called you to do. And my final point, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, because I believe God will touch you. I've seen it so many times. If you're hungry and you want it, God will touch you. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And maybe even if you just want a fresh touch, get the rivers flowing again. No, we should have rivers of living water flowing out of us. My last point this morning is the outworking of that power. And as Christians, this is how we should be. So Peter and John, this is in Acts 3, 1-8. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. So this guy, lame from birth, all they could do for him was to bring him up to the temple gate and allow him to beg for money. Not much of a life, really. Each day, get a couple of dollars so he could get some food. Or maybe the family used it for something else. They'd pick him up and take him back home. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man thought, "Man, all my Christmases are coming at once here. These guys are going to give me a few thousand dollars or something." He looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said to him, "I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have you, what I'll give you is what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped, stood up, began to walk, then walking, leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with him. And Catherine, could you come? The keys, please. Yeah. So, went into the temple with them. Peter and John were carrying the Holy Spirit. They were carrying the power of God in their lives. In the natural realm, people were walking past that beggar every day, probably throwing him a coin, one or two coins, as they walked past, seeing in the natural. But Peter and John saw in the Spirit. They were looking through spiritual eyes. They knew they carried something. So they released that power, took the man's hand and lifted him up, and he was healed. And we, church, can operate in that power. It wasn't just for the book of Acts. We're a Pentecostal church. We have the Holy Spirit. But it's something we have to stir within us. You know, life can be challenging, and we all face challenges. Life can be a grind. It can put us down at times. And I've discovered with the Holy Spirit that you need to continually keep filled. Because what happens, you tend to leak it out. Things come around you. Things happen. And you seem to leak it out. You know, I've been to a number of conferences and I've been really touched by God, and you think you can win the world for Jesus. About 3 days later, it's, oh, woe is me. And, you know. So we need the power of God operating in our lives. We need the world to see that the church isn't weak, that the church isn't wishy-washy, but the church is strong. The church is full of His Spirit, full of His power. That the church is the answer for the world today, that Christ is the answer. Christ is found in us. He's found in the church. You should be able to open these doors and people will come, because the power of God is here. That's what people want. I mean, they try different things. You can try all the drugs and the any, you know, substances or anything else to try and escape reality or to get out of where they're at. But I'm sure if they come and they have an encounter with God, there's nothing in this world that can compare with that. Nothing. So I suppose the challenge is, to me, as much as I'm challenging you, how is God using me in these days? How is God using me? I just believe there's so much more. So much more. God's got so much more for us. Ben, can I just pray for you? I was praying this morning and you just came to my mind. Now, you don't come to my mind very often, but you did this morning. I was praying. And like, I felt God wanted to give you a word. And He said, I feel God saying to you, there's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming. There's a breakthrough coming in your business. There's a breakthrough coming. I feel like God is saying you've been sowing and you've been pushing and you've been battling, and it's like when is it really going to open up? And I felt like God was saying that there's a breakthrough coming for you, Ben. But also not only in the natural, but there's also a breakthrough coming in the spiritual realm in you. There's giftings within you that almost like you've closed off, or you know they're there. And it's like, I feel like God is wanting to stir you again, stir those areas within your life up, stir them up. There's so much more I believe that God has got for you. So, Father, I just thank You right now. Lord, I thank You. Father, just pour in a fresh touch of Your Spirit right now, Lord. Father, I thank You, God. I thank You for the gifts that You've placed within him, Lord. I thank You, Father, for a stirring of those gifts, Lord. Oh, kala mashokrom, even in the area of prayer, Ben. Oh, krobo shiko lobo salamandai. Father, I thank You, Lord. Pour in, Lord. Pour in more, Lord. More, more, more. Father, more, Lord. Father, I thank You, God. I thank You, Father. I thank You for what You're going to do through him, Lord, in these days ahead, Lord God. Not only in his business, because even in his business, Lord, he's going to touch people's lives. Oh, and it's like God is going to give you, in the realm of the Spirit, you're going to see things. That even in your business, trying to work things out, that in the spiritual realm, he's going to show you how you need to be able to progress this situation for these people, this loan. So, Father, I thank You. So just pour in. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, thank you, Lord. So just presence of God is here. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you have never spoken in tongues before, I'd love to pray for you. Pastor Nigel's here. Charlie's here. We'll come and pray for you. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just come to the front. It's very simple. It's very simple. Very simple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any others? I'm just going to give you a couple of instructions. It's very simple. The thing people find most difficult in receiving the Holy Spirit is they're thinking too much in their heads. The head is probably the major obstacle that we that gives us problems, because that's where the enemy gets in and starts telling you, oh no, you can't, you're making it up. So you've got to shut your head down and just open up your hearts. And it's like, yes,
let's just really participate. We've still got a few minutes left. Let's participate together. And if you just want a fresh touch from God, why don't you come and join these guys that have already come this morning? But let's really believe that we're all really empowered afresh. Tongues is really just a language to God. It's something that's not to be afraid of. It's a way that God understands every word. And normal, it is a normal sign of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a regeneration. And that's what's going to happen here today for this great couple.
Yeah.
They're going to get regenerated. And if you're thinking, well, I would like to be regenerated, just come to the front and allow Steve. He's got an anointing. Steve's got a real anointing for this kind of thing. And let's just, oh, thank you. And let's just believe together. Amen. Can we all just feel, you should also feel a lightness come upon you as we're just standing here praying this morning. All right, thanks, Steve.
Okay, so all you have to do, just open your arms up like you're receiving. That's right. So what I'm going to do is just pray that Jesus will be baptized you with the Spirit. And as I do that, I'll help you, but you'll just have to start making a sound. Now, it's going to come from your belly. It's coming from below. And it's going to sound to your mind crazy. But the Spirit of God will fill you. And it's persevering. So, Father, I just thank you. Jesus, I just ask right now that you baptize this couple with your Holy Spirit and with power. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, fill right now in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for a release right now. You've got now the Spirit, Holy Spirit sitting on you. You just got to let your tongue go. Oh, thank you. Riba ki la mande. You got it. Chili ba kori di bastiai. Mari di bosho lo bostai. Robo si kiri di baro di bostai. Mari di biri.